You're tuned to WMUK 102.1 FM online at WMUK.org from Western Michigan University. Tomorrow night, Western Michigan University Group will premiere a new work before it heads to Lincoln Center. And the two creative artists behind this project are Western Michigan University faculty jazz pianist Jeremy Siskind and guest artist Reed Master Lucas Pino, and both are in the studio here today. Thank you for coming in, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us, Kara.
Glad to be here.
So this is a full concert of brand new music with a underlying theme that brings together nine instrumentalists and two singers. It really sounds like a big project. You guys don't even live in the same state anymore. How did you make this happen? Can you tell us a little backstory here?
Well, the genesis of this project actually started with Jazz and Lincoln Center taking an interest in the No Net Non Net, my band that I've been performing with, and saying, do you have a special project? We want to book your band, but maybe a CD release or a special project that you have in mind. And when I was emailing back and forth, I kind of suggested this rough idea for the show that Jeremy and I have been putting together. And so as soon as the date was booked, I got on the phone and I started talking to Jeremy. I said, what do you think about this thing? We've been talking about a collaboration between our two projects, Jeremy's housewarming project and my Nonet, for more than I can remember, longer than I can remember. And it just seemed like a perfect opportunity to try to dive in and make that happen.
The housewarming project is a trio, and so this significantly expands the palette of music. Jeremy, how did you divide the work on this?
Well, it was a pretty clear division of labor. We brainstormed together what the project might be, what we might write about, how we might present it. But I've been writing the lyrics, and Lucas has been writing the music, and that's a very new and sometimes uncomfortable thing for me. I love doing the lyrics, but you know, sometimes I have to restrain myself, being like, "Oh, well, here's a musical idea," but you know, it's not my show to do that with. So it actually takes a lot of self-control from me. But I love doing the lyrics. And actually, we work probably the opposite of how you would assume. He sends me the lyrics first, or he sends me the music first, and then I write the lyrics to his melody. So it's always this like huge challenge. I'm limited by syllables, I'm limited by accentuation, and trying to say all these important things that we've agreed upon, but trying to fit my words to his music all the time.
Yeah. So what is a big enough, strong enough, interesting enough topic to brainstorm a bunch of songs around?
Well, the topic, in a word, is empathy in the digital age, and it's in the title. Essentially, the feeling that I've had recently, that we've had, or when you kind of take a step back from your social media, you take a step back from this new reality that a lot of us are existing in, this digital reality that we're existing in, I feel like we are encountering a few problems. And part of it, I guess, that it's the way to build an image of that is that you might walk out your front door and you won't talk to your neighbor anymore. You'll dip down into your cell phone and check your social media instead. You'll avoid the awkward conversation at the bus stop in favor of checking your Facebook or going and tweeting something. It's this avoidance of the natural world in favor of this digital world. And there are inherent problems with how we perceive one another in the digital world. So I guess that's the topic in a nutshell for me. You have anything to add, Jeremy?
No, the title of the piece is Golden Rule Turing Test. And the Turing Test is this kind of experiment evaluation for robots to see if people can distinguish in a conversation between a human and a robot. And I think part of our thesis is that as robots become more human, we somehow are also losing our humanity. We're also somehow
losing. We're
meeting
them in the middle?
Yeah, exactly. we're losing some of our sympathy for our fellow man because we have all these digital demands on us. And our brains have to work in a different way to live in this society where everything's happening really, really fast. Mm-hmm. So one of the first songs in the show is a song, Turing Test, which is about kind of a robot who wants to be considered more of a man. But as we get through the show and we start to talk about ways in which humans are wronging each other completely inappropriately, we start reusing the musical themes and some of the lyrical themes to show, well, humans aren't really doing what we're supposed to be doing either. We're not living up to our own humanity.
Right.
Which is why you include Golden Rule in this title. Of course, we all know what the Golden Rule is: treat others as you would have them treat you.
That's right.
And Turing test right next to it, it does suggest certainly a philosophical area that you can go on about for quite a while.
I mean, that's what we do. Hence the show.
Everyone, I think, listening now knows they have a complicated relationship with social media.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We all do.
You can't completely eschew it, or you will actually lose some human connection.
That's right.
Right. And what we want to do is we want to just point a few things out and ask the questions. You know, we've been looking up some science and some facts, like, whereas in the 80s, about 20% of people who were asked reported themselves to be lonely. Today, 40% of people who ask would self-identify as lonely. Mm. There are countries in which people check their social networks at least 40 times a day. So 3 times, roughly, the number of waking hours that one would have in a day. And it just goes on and on, kind of the shocking way that we receive news, the shocking way with which we interact with one another. It's all very fascinating. It's also interconnected, I think we've been finding, too.
Yeah, as we dive more and more into these different ideas, it's been easier and easier to draw lines between how we consume information and how we essentially self-validate our beliefs, or what would you call that? You would call that one of the titles of the pieces is an information loop that you set yourself up to always receive your confirmation bias. And then when you have this confirmation bias and you see someone who might present another viewpoint in the world than you, it's not so much about a dialogue as I'm right and they're wrong. And, you know, they become an enemy as opposed to your neighbor. You know,
and someone you feel safe to attack because it's...
Because you're hiding behind a screen.
You're not right in front of them.
Yeah, one of the lines from the show is, we're shy when face-to-face, reckless when unseen. Yeah. And I think that's so true. We are able to, you know, hide in the cover of night. Cyberbullying is certainly, you know, a huge issue. But we're all cyberbullies to some degree, right?
Yeah.
Just because we all feel like this is some space where we can advance our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we feel like we're doing it for the sake of good, you know, it's not always that cut and dry.
Mm. Well, are different people going to find different songs here that speak to them more than others? I mean, do you... it's not just a polemic against the, you know, dangers of social media.
Well, we certainly hope so. Some of the tunes are airing more on the side of humor, and we talk about how what's the term humble brag. Who coined the term humble brag?
His name is Harris Whittles. He was a writer for Modern Family. So, one of the tunes is called hashtag humble brag. Are you familiar with what a humble brag is, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
That's when you, this is common in social media circles, you say something that's supposedly self-effacing, but in there you sneak in.
An accomplishment.
You know, oh, well, I'm so lucky that they chose me for the finals of American Idol, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Too blessed to be stressed, humble brag.
so there is that. I had kind of two policies for myself when writing the lyrics, one of which is that I would not go cheesy, and the other of which is that I won't do preachy.
Yeah.
And I think what I ended up doing lyrically for a lot of this is, instead of talking about the issues, is to present characters.
Yeah.
For example, in humble brag, there's somebody who's basically... maybe represents the worst version of all of us online. And he's talking about how, in fact, everybody else is wrong, you know. He says, oh, I'm in it for the likes on Facebook. you know, so there's a lot of humor there. There's a character, you know, this drug in our brains, dopamine, is released whenever we get a text or an email or something like that.
A nice little red notification, that red Facebook notification.
Ooh, right, and you're aware that's the same drug that makes people addicted to nicotine or gambling or alcohol.
Yeah.
And it's actually estimated that 10% of people are addicted to the internet in a way that it completely disrupts their life. But one of the songs is kind of a a love song to dopamine, a love song to the drug.
So acknowledging that actually there's a reason we use social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a lot of companies that have a vested interest in keeping us addicted, keeping us on our phones all the time. Right. So we're not trying to present solutions or tell people what to do, but we want to raise questions. We want to show what the problems are. Yeah. And there's plenty of problems.
Golden Rule Turing Test gets its world premiere at Western Michigan University tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And then it moves on to New York and a premiere in Lincoln Center, which is, what, this week or later on?
No, thank God.
Yeah, thank you. The premiere is going to be at Dizzy's Club, Coca-Cola, Jazz at Lincoln Center, and that'll be in June. June 20th is our date.
And part of the reason this is happening is that Lincoln Center wanted to work with you, but also wanted to say, we have Lucas Pino's new piece to premiere. So
that's right.
It's a really big deal.
Yeah, we're just so flattered. We're a little humble brag.
So,
she bragged for you. Though. I think that's permitted.
Yeah, I agree.
Lucas, how do they know about you? What work have you been working on in your career so far that kind of got you into this proximity?
My ensemble, I've been living in New York City since 2007, and I moved there originally for school. I went to the New School. I did a master's at the Juilliard School. And somewhere in there, I started the Nonet. And it was a dream of mine to put together a large ensemble, mostly because there were individuals in the city that I wanted to play with. And more than would be permitted in a quintet or a sextet. So I said, okay, well, who do I want to play with? I want to play with this person, that person, this person, that person. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9 people. Okay. Put together a Nonet, and I started writing for the Nonet. And people really seemed to enjoy it. And we played rinky-dink gigs at dive bars for a little while. And after not too long, we were given a residency at Smalls Jazz Club in New York City. And that's, if for those who are not in the know, Smalls is essentially the, I don't know what you would call it, like the meeting place, the nexus for jazz musicians in New York. And having a monthly residency there since 2013, March 2013, about 3 years, has given us an opportunity to establish our presence in New York City. That's where I think the interest, Jazz at Lincoln Center saw us playing there, but also to tighten the bolts and really develop a sound. Mm-hmm. So,
it also, beyond coming up with fresh music, fresh arrangements, it sounds like behind that there's a deep commitment to being there for that residency every single time. Mm-hmm. Organizing the other 8 people in the group, trying to make sure people get a little money out of it.
Sure.
This is a big
undertaking. I've been incredibly lucky that the members of the band have been just so dedicated to the project. And, you know, Jeremy will be the first to tell you that I'm not the most organized person. So being a band leader, I'm sure that probably drives them crazy. But somehow we've made it work together, and we play to one another's strengths, and it's just been a real beautiful ride. And so when the time came to make the jump to the larger venue and to do this project, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do it without Jeremy and Jeremy's expertise. I mean, I can't wait for everyone to hear what he's written in terms of the lyrics, but also just the concept. It's very clear and at times humorous and at times shocking at times. It's made my job writing the music so much fun.
We'll talk a little bit more about this topic when we come back. But first, I'd like to delve into the Nonet, Nonet from Lucas Pino. Would you introduce this selection here? It's called Where You Need to Be.
Oh, yes. This is from our most recent recording called Nonet, Nonet. It's a self-titled record, and this particular track is about wanting to be in two places at once and trying to find contentment in being where you are.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Nonet Nonet, which is an ensemble led by Lucas Pino, who's in the studio here today, along with Jeremy Siskin. They're longtime friends, collaborators, and have worked on much of Jeremy's project, the Housewarming Project, which is for Jeremy on keyboard, Nancy Harms on vocals, mm-hmm. and Lucas Pino playing clarinet, bass clarinet, saxophones. It's an intimate house experience, yeah?
Yeah.
House concerts. But now Lucas is in the driver's seat for this premiere tomorrow night of Golden Rule Touring Test, which brings your Nonet to town, as well as two singers, Nancy Harms. And who is the other singer?
Well, for this performance tomorrow, we're using all WMU students, and they've been just doing a fantastic job.
The Advanced Jazz Ensemble is going to be playing with vocalist Christian Diaz and Hannon Truckenbrot.
Yeah, you did tell me this, and yet I still was getting confused between
okay.
next June, where it's going to be staged at Lincoln Center with your New York Nonet,
yeah.
your Nonet Nonet. But here, it's our students working on it.
It is, and it's a big task because this, you know, the players in his Nonet are pretty much to a man total virtuosi on their instruments, and, you know, he writes with them in mind. So it's been a growing process for our students, and they're doing a pretty amazing job playing some really hard music.
Well, let's go back and talk about what we just heard, which is a good example of the sound of the Nonet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a perfect representation of what we do.
Yeah.
If I'm not that anyone out there listening now is very familiar, but when we write for the group, we're writing for specific individuals, and we're writing for their character and their sound. And that's what's been so much fun about this project, is that not only are we going to be expressing ideas through Jeremy's lyrics and these different concepts, but also a musical representation through different motives and musical identities. It's going to be real fun.
When did the kids get the scores?
They're still getting them. No, I'm kidding. They received the last one. We had a rehearsal. Not yesterday, but
Saturday.
2 days ago.
Saturday.
And they got the last score the day of that rehearsal. So
they're also getting to witness this work in progress, which,
yeah.
you know, I think probably on some levels is frustrating for them to not be able to prepare it quite as much as they want. But I think it's also a good experience of in terms of a professional experience.
Right, absolutely.
You know, here's how it might go yeah. when you're out in the world.
Precisely. When we see, as in the audience, we see a finished product, for some reason, I've always assumed that the composer sat down on day one and wrote the first note on the first page and just kept going until they were done and hit, you know, said fini at the end and then just finished the last note. It is never from beginning to end like that.
That's true.
This came in different ways.
Yeah, and it's particularly interesting and important working with the singers, because they have so much to do. Not only do they have to know their parts and have great pitch and know the words, but they have to act and have a presence,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really embody the ideas and the people that are being presented, the characters in this story. So,
right.
you know,
it's not fair to not give a singer some time to process the lyrics and come up with a persona for each piece, for yeah. each song.
It's a very demanding.
They've been doing such a wonderful job. I really was just so impressed. I came in, like I did, I came in 2 days ago, and that afternoon we rehearsed, and I had no idea what to expect, and everyone was just hitting home runs. I really, I'm just so proud of the work that they've done. It's really exciting for me.
And it should be mentioned that the Advanced Jazz Ensemble is under the direction of Dr. Andrew Rathbun, who helped rehearse all the music mm-hmm. before Lucas got there, and we're very grateful to him.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's shared some projects here on WMUK before, and his standards are really high.
He's a pretty capable guy.
That's right. So a reminder again to listeners that this is a free concert. It's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, and it is a premiere of Golden Rule Touring Test.
And we'll have a pre-concert talk hosted by Carol Lawrence.
Yes.
At 7:30.
Yes. If you want to hear all this again,
yeah, if you
come
want
on there.
Yeah. Except better.
In person, yeah.
yeah.
I just wanted to know personally, Lucas, where you and Jeremy have an established relationship where he gives you the music in the trio, and he's like, I'm the band leader and I really like you guys, but here's what I want you to do. This is now, you're in the driver's seat, and Jeremy's not getting to housewarm you all.
it goes without saying that I hold Jeremy's opinion in the highest regard. And so it makes the job of collaborating, I think, much easier than one might expect. We have a completely different skill set and a different way that we handle business. So essentially he's filling in all of my gaps. And if I can remain humble and take his advice, then the project is going to be better.
One thing I think I hear on the albums I'm familiar with, which are the Siskin housewarming albums, is that you're a terrific listener. You're a listener and responder. And I'm willing to give the moment your full attention.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much. I hope that's true. I mean, when you're acting as a sideman and a leader, or in any musical capacity, I think the first step is to be listening and to be present. Even it's so amazing that you should mention that, not to be off track or anything like that. But when we were rehearsing the Advanced Jazz Ensemble, there was a moment when everyone is playing the notes, and they're playing the notes so well, but the music is flat. And then we begin to talk about imagery, and you can witness the difference when they begin to listen to the music through the ears of the image and the concept, as opposed to trying to be correct with the notes on the page. And the music experienced this transformation in the rehearsals 2 days ago. Yeah, so listening is key. It's fundamental, and if you let your ego get in the way, it's going to be to the detriment. Wow, that's a tongue twister. To the detriment of the music, always, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, that's great.
Anything else you could add to that, to this power dynamic issue, Jeremy? Is it hard for you to take a?
It is, but it's also a total joy. You know, it does take some restraint, and there are times when I want to say, like, hey, I know you don't have time to write that. Like, let me just sketch it out for you. I could, you know, I can do that. But first of all, I love the challenge of writing a lyric, and I love Lucas's music. And so, you know, each new chart that he sends, like getting a little present, a little challenge in the mail, you know, what are you gonna do with this. And so I love that, and you know, hopefully that we're both forcing each other to rise to the occasion. It's like, well, you know, you're gonna spend all that time on that, here's what I'm gonna do with this lyric, here's what I'm gonna do writing the notes for between the songs, here's what I'm gonna do for the orchestration. Now I'm raising the bar, and you know, collaboration is hard. Like, and I'm a control freak by nature, so it's really hard for me. But you know, when collaboration works, Lennon and McCartney, you know, like that magic can happen so much more than just being in my own head, or for Lucas being in his own head. So, yeah, it's hard.
It's been so much fun. We'll talk on the phone, and then we'll get off the phone, and I'll think that we're in complete agreement on something. Yeah, it's going to be, this is the concept, this is the feel, this is the lyric or whatever, and then we get to the finished product, and then we're both saying, that's what it was? Oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Stephen Sondheim has said that writing a lyric is one of the very hardest things to do, because within the space of a lyric, a novel writer could write several paragraphs. A composer could write a million notes, but a lyric has to be understood, has to be clear, it has to be definitive and sort of refined down to its most important meaning. And you can spend hours and hours on one line just trying to find it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a crossword puzzle, because you're right. There's all these limitations. There's all these things that you can't do. And we were talking the other day, there's one part on the show that keeps recurring. That's just this little 3-note theme. And I'm like, man, what can I do with 3 syllables? You know, and you want me to say something important, like get this message across that we've agreed upon? I only have 3 syllables here. You know, so that kind of stuff is a huge challenge. And, you know, there are parts where I have to say, oh, we need to add a few notes, or, you know, this part's going to be instrumental because I can't think of anything that, you know, mm-hmm. first of all, the singer's going to have a hard time, mm-hmm. and I think it's going to be better. So when I look at his sheets, sometimes I'm able to actually like fool with the game a little bit more to cheat on the game. And of course, if that's in the service of the music, we'll mutually, you know, agree upon but I really enjoy the challenge, and I'm actually teaching a class in songwriting right now that I have to be at 11.
getting close.
But, you know, it's been, that class has been such a great reminder of me for me of the things that I want to do. And then I go back and I work on some of the lyrics for this. And that's such a great reminder of what I want to say to people in the class. So it's just, it's been such a joy, and, I'm relieved that I still have one more piece to write a lyric for. Otherwise I'm going to, you know, be really distraught when this is all over.
Well, I'm speaking with Jeremy Siskind and Lucas Pino, longtime friends and both terrific musicians who are debuting this new project tomorrow night, which Western audiences, our community will be the first to hear and first to see. It features some outstanding students at Western Michigan University in the Advanced Jazz Combo. Music begins at 8. 7:30 is the pre-concert chat with the artists. And again, it is free and open to the public. Let's have an example of a songwriting from Jeremy. I have
Yeah, so we can look at, I think it's track 3 on there. It's called What Is That Feeling? And I think this is a good choice because it features Lucas on his home instrument, the tenor saxophone. And this is a song based on some writing by Jack Kerouac, and it's kind of looking at, you know, I think we look at certain people in certain times and we see that their lives are just, or our lives are just a series of new exciting events. You're going from one thing to the next, but that also means that we're always constantly leaving something behind. So this was a moment for Kerouac in On the Road where he's reflecting and saying, man, it's heartbreaking to have to always be leaving something behind in order to keep expanding, keep growing, keep having these exciting experiences.
We'll hear Nancy Harms on vocals. She's going to premiere the work in New York this summer.
To curse and praise, the face receding on the plain, the specks dispersing. You park the car and start to cry. What is that feeling you feel? That feeling you feel. What is that feeling you feel?
We heard a song from Finger Songwriter, an album by Jeremy Siskind, and that was called What Is That Feeling? We heard the voice of Nancy Harms, who is a longtime collaborator with Jeremy Siskind and Lucas Pino. Lucas's music, Jeremy's lyrics, showcased tomorrow night in a concert starting at 8 o'clock. It's a free and open to the public event. It's called Golden Rule Turing Test. And it's a series of pieces, songs, some instrumental and some vocal that cover this topic we've been looking into this hour of, you know, are we becoming less human as we interface with the internet?
Constantly? Yes, you summed it up so well.
Yeah. Coming on the road with us.
Okay. Shoot, I was going to ask you to do that here at the end of the... Are there any last things that we might want to tie up with a ribbon here that I didn't remember to talk about? Terrific Western students premiering this work tomorrow.
Yep, so it's a nine-piece ensemble, brand new arrangements, two vocalists, brand new songs. We're really excited to hear the music. We haven't even quite heard it all yet. And it's fantastic for us to be able to hear it, and then we're going to go make some changes before June. But to be able to kind of actually see the scope of this thing, you know, it's like we've been building this thing, and now we can go up on a cliff and look over it and see, okay, how did it actually go turn out? So this is really exciting for us on a lot of levels.
In the audience, you'll be part of the process for these two creators who don't really call this quite finished yet. It will be that much closer to final when it goes to Lincoln Center in June. Lucas, I never asked where you actually grew up.
Oh, well, if you must know. No, I'm actually originally from Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh.
And I moved to California for a little bit right after high school. And then about 2 years after that, I moved to New York, and I've been in New York ever since.
Are you a New Yorker now?
In a way. In a way. Not completely yet.
And it could be mentioned that Lucas, who's, you know, one of the top call saxophonists in New York, is married to Roxy Koss, who's also one of the top call tenor saxophonists in New York. And she actually has family in Kalamazoo, and she's going to be at the show Tuesday night. So
fantastic.
You can look for Lucas and Roxy doing saxophone duels somewhere along the line.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I don't think we have anything much more to say. It's been a great visit with you guys. I think we should just finish with some great music from the Nonet. The Nonet Nonet.
Thank you.
Lucas, this is your baby. How many albums now with the Nonet?
Well, that's my second record, and that's the first record of the Nonet. We just went in the studio, and we actually put two more records in the can. So there's two more, and then after we do this touring test at Jazz at Lincoln Center, we're going to record that. So three more on the way.
Here we go. Tell me about this tune we're going to hear to finish the hour.
This tune is about the financial collapse in 2008, about injecting tons of money back into the financial system to sew back together an unholy banking system. We call it Bankenstein.
Thank you, Lucas. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks a lot, Kara.